Hi, everyone. My name is Surya Ganguly. I'll be chairing the Deep Learning 2 session. If you guys could take your seats, I just wanted to introduce the first speaker, Kenji Kawaguchi from MIT, who will talk about deep learning without poor local minima. Thanks.
Okay. So I want to talk about this paper titled Deep Learning Without Poor Local Minima. So we all know that deep learning has been a great success, and it's been super exciting, of course. But one aspect of deep learning that is relatively not well understood yet is the loss surface in training. So in this slide, I'm illustrating different types of critical points on the loss surface, including local minima, saddle points, and global minima. So those are the critical points that we will see many times in this talk. So as illustrated in this slide, because of non-convexity of the loss surface in training, we may get stuck around the local minima during training in deep learning. So one important question in deep learning is, what does the loss surface look like? Does it look like something in this slide, or something more structured, so the use of our stochastic gradient descent can be theoretically justified? Another important, more concrete question is there at least one deep model class without this problem of getting stuck around local minima? One of the contributions of this paper is to prove that, the answer is indeed yes. Namely, here's a contribution overview for deep linear nets. For deep linear nets, in 1989, this previous paper stated the conjecture as follows. If input dimension is equal to output dimensions, and if layer width is smaller than those, every local minimum would be a global minimum. Recently published deep learning book cited this conjecture, cited this paper, and noticing that the proof for the conjecture was not provided. In this context, this paper proved this conjecture and more. Namely, for any depth, and for any layer width, and for any input up dimensions, the loss surface is non-convex and non-concave, but despite the non-convexity, every local minimum is a global minimum. So we don't have a problem of getting stuck on the local minimum. We also proved that for deeper networks, there are potentially bad saddle points, whereas for shallow networks, there is no such bad saddle points. So unlike the conjecture from 1989, in our statement, we can change the layer width and input-output dimensions as we want. And we can also make the model as deep as we want. And still, those four statements are proven to hold. So here is a contribution overview for deep nonlinear rel nets. So last year, Kromanska and Kowasa proved that under seven assumptions, the number of local minima decreases exponentially as the loss value increases. Later, Kromanska, LeCun, and Aros announced that discarding some of these seven assumptions is an important open problem. In this context, this paper partially addressed the open problem by discarding four assumptions out of the seven and also improved the previous results. Namely, under the remaining three assumptions out of the seven, we proved that every local minimum is a global minimum. So in the rest of this talk, I will try to explain our contribution in more detail. Let's start with deep linear model. So deep linear model is a simplified version of some practical deep learning models. So it is not ideal, but theoretically understanding linear counterpart of something nonlinear complex phenomena is arguably a natural first step. So indeed, as we will see later, this deep linear model is very good local approximation of deep nonlinear rel nets. Actually, there's a literature on this deep linear model, including the previous papers listed in this slide. By deep linear model, I mean a fully connected feed-forward neural networks without any nonlinear activation, as in this slide. So P is the smallest width in the hidden layers. And for loss function, I simply use a squared error loss function. So that's the problem setting, and here's the result. For any depth with at least one hidden layer, and for any layer width, and for any input dimension and output dimension, the lost surface has the following properties. First, it is non-convex and non-concave. If we have no hidden layer, then what we have is, of course, simply classic linear model, for which we know the problem is convex. But if we have at least one hidden layer, then problem becomes non-convex because of the two factors. The first factor is rank restriction due to the smallest width p. Because of this rank restriction, this deep linear model is not equivalent or cannot be reduced to a classic linear model, and hence the problem becomes non-convex. And you can see very easily because the rank function on the entry of metrics is a non-convex function. But even if this rank restriction is vacuous, or doesn't matter because p is large enough, this problem is still non-convex because of the effect of depth. In other words, the interaction of the weights in different layers make this problem non-convex. So that was about the first statement in this theorem. And the second statement in this theorem says, despite the non-convexity, every local minimum is a global minimum. So this theorem is about understanding critical points where gradient becomes zero. And understanding critical point is important because critical points are where our gradient type algorithms can converge to. And this second statement in this theorem says, out of all the types of critical points, if we converge to a local minima, then we are fine because it's already global minima. But the remaining question is, how about other critical points where my gradient descent can still converge to? Third statement says, well, all the remaining critical points are saddle points. Then how about saddle points? Fourth statement says, if this rank condition holds, all the remaining saddle points are also no problem because we can escape from. So p here is the smallest width in the hidden layers. And if this rank condition holds, the Hessian at any saddle point has at least one negative eigenvalue, and hence we have decreasing direction corresponding to this negative eigenvalue, which we can use to escape from the saddle point. Now, for the second statement, every local minimum is a global minimum, I want to briefly talk about some proof ideas to illustrate what's going on behind this theorem. So we first consider a set of weight parameters, W, that satisfies first and second order necessary conditions of local minimum, which are gradient being zero and Hessian being positive indefinite. In other words, all the candidate points of local minimum are contained in this set. So we analyze this set with two cases. Case one is where this rank condition holds, and case two is where this rank condition does not hold. For case one, it turns out that we can relatively easily show every point in case one is a global minimum. So for case two, we proceed to show that for every point in case two, there exists a decreasing direction in its neighborhood, which means, of course, every point in case two is not a local minimum. But then the question is, what are those points? I mean, what are those points in case two? Please remember that all the points in case two satisfies first and second order conditions. In other words, from first and second order terms, all the points in case two look like local minimum or cannot be distinguished from local minimum. But what I'm saying now is those are not local minimum. Then what are those points? It turns out all the points in case two are saddle points with no negative eigenvalue. So interesting point here is if we use different theoretical approaches to analyze the first and second order terms, for example, by random metric theory approach, then we could not distinguish these saddle points in case two from local minimum. And hence, we could not conclude every local minimum is a global minimum. And this may illustrate the reason why we could improve the previous results obtained by random metric theory approach for deep nonlinear radial nets, as we will see later. Anyway, this implies every local minimum is indeed in case one, for which we already proved what we wanted to prove. So this completes the proof. So that was about this theorem. And here is another result, which is about the effect of depth on the saddle points. First statement in this result says, for shallow networks with only one hidden layer, all the saddle points are no problem because we can escape from. But second statement says, for deeper networks, there exist potentially bad saddle points with no negative eigenvalue, and hence no decreasing direction corresponding to the second term. So in summary, theorem in the previous slide says depth does not create but local minimum, yet depth creates potentially bad saddle points. And that's the end for deep linear model, and we move on to deep nonlinear radial nets. So by deep radial nets, I mean a fully connected feed-forward neural networks with rectified linear units. So this is a usual model and nothing special here. One property of deep radial net is that for each activation pattern, a deep radial net can be written as deep linear net, as in this slide. In other words, in a small neighborhood where the activation pattern does not change, deep radial net acts as a deep linear net. So intuitively, we want to utilize this property of radial nets to analyze it. But in this paper, we do that via some assumptions. And here is a high-level idea. So due to the new understanding of deep linear nets, any set of assumptions that can reduce any model to deep linear model immediately leads to no bad local minimum results, and more about saddle points. For example, it turns out that a strict subset of assumptions used to analyze deep radial nets in the previous papers with random metric theory approach can indeed reduce radial nets to deep linear nets. So in this paper, we adapt this subset of assumptions. Intuitively, adapted assumptions take advantage of this property of radial nets. And essentially, activation per unit is assumed to be independent from input and weight parameters. And of course, this is an unrealistic assumption because activation does depend on input and weight parameters. But if we assume this, namely, if we assume this subset of assumptions used in the previous paper, then we can immediately obtain all the same theoretical results as in the deep linear net. Namely, it is non-convex and non-concave, but despite the non-convexity, every local minimum is a global minimum. We also have all the same theoretical results for saddle points. So here is a list of open questions. So in this paper, we proved the existence of potentially bad saddle points, even for deep linear models. So remaining question is how to deal with this potentially bad saddle points. So another important open question is, of course, how to discard remaining simplifying assumptions. And there are various ways to do it, and those lists are not meant to be comprehensive, of course. But skipping first and second points, one important direction would be to rethink the definition of bad local minimum in terms of expected risk instead of empirical risk. But of course, this is a usual machine learning view, and nothing special and nothing new. And in conclusion, for deep linear nets, this paper proves a conjecture from 1989, namely, no bad local minimum results, and more about saddle points. And for deep nonlinear radial nets, this paper improved the previous results with fewer yet still simplifying assumptions. So finally, there are many open questions left for future work, and there's definitely a long way to go to catch up this very super exciting, very fast developments of more practical side of deep learning. Thank you.
Question?
So I understand, if I understand correctly, for the nonlinear part, you're using the fact that for some region of inputs, there's some equivalent linear network where some of the coefficients have been zeroed out, and then you're applying the linear result to that case.
Right.
So I could see then how within that region of inputs, you don't have some global, your local minimum is global, but I don't see how that, then that would be true over the entire
set. Yeah, you
right.
Yeah. So I think the point is the equivalence between deep RELU net and deep linear net is local. So what we want to analyze is global property of critical points instead of local, because we are comparing local minimum against global minimum. So the property itself doesn't immediately lead to what we want to have. And at this point, I mean, in this paper, we utilize the property through some simplifying assumptions. So it's not yet satisfactory in practical sense. So that's where we stand now, and we are currently discarding simplifying assumptions to extend the local property to global property.
So in the RELU network, if you have any of the inputs to be at exactly zero, in that case, you're actually going to have two linear nets with different weights which are going to be in the neighborhood. Can you prove that this is that you're not going to have local minima at exactly that point?
At exactly the point we don't have a... I don't think... So we can, I think in general, we can construct a counterexample for it, if I understand correctly the question. So the property we prove, I think it's about the deep RELU net, right?
Yep.
Then in general, we cannot prove the existence of, non-existence of but local minima without any simplifying assumptions. And they are actually shown they could just counterexample that we have but local minima. So we are currently making, so the question is how to identify the class of input and target function and class of architectures small enough so that those worst case analysis doesn't apply. Right. So at this point it's not, it's unclear yet.
I wonder if you can accommodate the max pooling into the mix and show that maybe still locally in some neighborhood it looks like a linear network.
I see. So, yes, so for max pooling, in a similar way, if we assume the same kind of assumptions, such as activation is independent from input and weight parameters, then of course we can show the exact same thing. But of course the assumption is unrealistic because max pooling is dependent on the input and weight parameters. So in my understanding, there's no yet the results, satisfactory results for the situation, theoretically speaking.